All right. Thank you. I want to say thank you to Pastor Dwayne, too, and the leadership team for giving me this opportunity. I didn't ask to be put in the center of the stage because I wanted to be the center of attention, but being 56 now, I need more light to see. 5 years ago, my font was at a number 14. It's at a number 18 today, and I have 7 pages of notes. 5 years ago, it would have been 3.5 to 4, so this just helps me. So what I want to talk to you about this morning is influence leadership. Influence leadership. Now, this is kind of a new thing for me. I've had a paradigm shift in ministry. 10 years ago, I didn't know this terminology. I'll use the terminology influence missions as well. But what we just heard really helps me to lead into what I want to speak to you today. So I'll preface it with this. So when I first started out in ministry, it was in Denison, Texas, 33 years ago as a youth pastor. And I would go to different conferences and things, and I would come back, and I would try to implement what I saw at much larger churches or at just different places. And then I would get very frustrated because it didn't work. And it was because God was using them to do certain things there that they had been, whatever the church was or whatever the conference was, they'd been called to. And sometimes you just haven't grown enough to do what other people are doing. And so I realized that. And in what I'm going to be sharing with you about, I don't think I could have done what we're doing today, what I'm going to share with you, when I was a young youth pastor, when I was a young worship pastor. It's taken me a genesis to get to where I'm at to understand this. But I don't want you to be frustrated. I don't want you to feel like that I'm trying to cram something down your throat. But I want you to know I'm very passionate about what I'm going to talk to you about today. It is going to take a team to do what I'm discussing, but I want to share something with you that has changed me, and it has changed how we do ministry at Grace Christian Center. Our pastor who formed the church, started the church, he was very overseas missions minded. And from what I can gather, Pastor Terry either helped different organizations and missions and churches in about 40 different countries, or he either spoke in these different countries. And then when I had this epiphany that I'm going to share with you about, it gave a great balance to our church, because now we are globally minded and we are locally minded. And I want to share this with you. So in Proverbs chapter 10, Proverbs chapter 11, verses 10 through 11, it says, "When the righteous prosper, the city rejoices, and when the wicked perish, there are shouts of joy. Through the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is destroyed." So this is my personal, this is Markology. I'll use the phrase Johnology. This is Markology. We no longer experience Proverbs 11:10 within the city, because the church no longer exercises Proverbs 11:11 outside of the church. So let me read it to you again. "When the righteous prosper," this is verse 10, "the city rejoices. When the wicked perish, there are shouts of joy. Through the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is destroyed." So we no longer experience Proverbs 11:10 within the city, because the church no longer exercises Proverbs 11:11 outside of the church. And I would say that is our businesses as well. Now, when you look up this word blessing, it literally means to speak a word of blessing. It's the spoken word. It means to praise. It means to compliment. It means a wish or prayer of blessing that is to come in the future. So it's like a mother or a father laying their hands on their children and speaking to their future and blessing them. So we know in the church that blessing is the opposite of cursing. So the blessing is the spoken word. And so it's very important what we say over the city. What you're speaking over your city matters. The Bible talks about death and life are in the power of the tongue. But when you research the word and really study the word out, for the word blessing, it's the Hebrew word barak, B-A-R-A-K. And it's a word that describes worship. So 25 years I was a worship pastor, so I taught this word a lot. And it means to kneel, it means to bless, it means to be blessed, to be adored, or to cause to kneel. And so when God started showing me this about what I'm going to share with you today about influence leadership, there's four things that I saw about the kneeling, being in the posture of kneeling. Number one, it's a posture of worship, because that's where the word actually is comes from. It's both physical, being on your knees, but it's also the posture of your heart. Psalms 34 and 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Well, that word bless is the word barak. So I will get on my knees before the Lord. So it's a posture of worship. It's also a posture of prayer. It talks about in 1 Kings 8, verse 54, that when Solomon had finished all these prayers and supplications to the Lord, he rose from before the altar of the Lord where he had been kneeling with his hands spread out towards heaven. So kneeling is a posture of worship. It's a posture of prayer. It's also a posture of surrender. We live in Killeen. The base there is the largest base in the world as far as a free base. It's almost a quarter of a million acres. Has about 36 or 33,000 troops there. And so surrender is also, it's a part of being a prisoner of war. It's also when somebody is robbed sometimes, they'll tell them to get on their knees. And it's also when you get married. Pastor Seth was talking about that a couple of nights ago, that he got on his knees. So he was literally surrendering his life. And so that's a posture. But here's the fourth thing. Kneeling is a posture of a servant. It's the posture of servanthood. So it's a physical posture of someone who is either a servant or someone who is serving. And I like what Pastor Jacob was talking about, that our position in Christ is our identity in Christ. And we really need to know that we're sons and daughters of God, that we walk with an authority, that we have an authority, that we're kings and priests. And the Bible says that we're raised with Christ, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, and so that's our position. But let me say this to you. As a church leader and as a business leader, your position may be who you are in Christ, but your posture is one of a servant. That's your posture, is to be one of a servant. So if you take the scripture that I read to you, Proverbs 11:11, you could say it's through the blessing of the upright, but you could also, it's through the kneeling of the upright, but you can get it down to that it's through the serving of the upright that the city is exalted. Our cities are in the shape that they are in because of how we serve or don't serve. And that's not just the church, that's the business leaders as well. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, this should be familiar to you, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And I want you to notice that the first place that we're supposed to have influence is within our city. The very first place that we're supposed to have influence is within our city. Leadership. The word influence, when you look it up in the dictionary, means this: the capacity to have an effect on the character, the development, and the behavior of someone or something. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to influence. If you're a business leader, you should be influencing your city. And if you are a pastor or you are part of a pastoral staff, you should be influencing the city. Now, I'm just going to be real candid and real open with you. When I first started in ministry, I did not have a real heart to say that I just bled for people to get saved. Now, I knew people needed to be saved, and I wanted that to happen. But my makeup of who I am and the giftings that I have, I wanted to know what we did with the people after they got saved. That's what I was concerned with. So sometimes I even felt like, God, sometimes I would feel like I was hard-hearted because I just didn't have this feeling. I didn't have this evangelistic flair, but I really believe in what I'm sharing with you today. God wants you to care about your city. What good does it do for us to care about people on the other side of the planet if you don't care about the city that your church and your business is actually in. So when you retrace the steps of the Apostle Paul, you won't find that he spent most of his time, his effort, and his resources on humanitarian missions. Paul went to the leading influential cities of his time, Rome, Athens, Corinth, and Ephesus, which today for us would be London, Paris, L.A., for many of you that's Lower Alabama, New York, Washington, D.C., and even Durant, Oklahoma. So I believe as pastors and business leaders that we have misunderstood and therefore we have missed reaching an important element of our influence. We have an element of influence that's not just in the church. It's supposed to be outside of the church. When you look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 21 and 22, this is what it said. Greet all the saints. This is Paul speaking. Greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send greetings. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. Now, I want you to think about this. Paul is pastoring Caesar's household. He's pastoring Caesar's household. And that's what I talk about when I say influence missions or influence leadership. Is that as pastors, we're called to pastor our city, but I think that means more than just pastor the people in our church. I believe that means we're supposed to influence the leaders within our city. And as business leaders, you're called to pastor your city, which is also, it means that you are there to influence the leaders within your city. So if you don't write anything else down, write this down. Because this is what began to change me. If you can't be the influencer, then you need to pray that God will make you the influencer to the influencer. If you're not the influencer within the city, or the influencer in whatever realm that you have, then you need to ask God, make me the influencer to the influencer. And the best example that I know of in Scripture is Joseph. Joseph was a guy in prison that morning, and that evening he became the influencer to the influencer. Matter of fact, he became, and we know this story, he became the second highest ranking official. This was the leading government official in the world at that time. This is Pharaoh. This is like you're here in Jubilee, and for some reason you get a call from the White House, and President Trump somehow has found out about you and wants to talk to you, and by this evening, he said, you're second in command. All right. So, I believe it's necessary to care for the poor because the Scripture tells us to. It's necessary to care for the hurting, the down and out, the orphan, and the widow. But this is my heart. We will never really change the world without engaging in influence missions. Influence leadership. We cannot change a culture or move the needle on changing our city if we do not have a presence in our city. Now listen to me. Presence is more than having a physical address within the city. It's more than 3412 West University Boulevard. It's more than 4100 North Travis Street. When I talk about presence, I'm not just talking about a building. And the thing that we have done a really bad job with, so I've been raised in church all my life. I've been on 6 different church staffs. No church that I was ever on church staff with ever was involved in the city. And this is what I know, and this is where I got really convicted. Because when the Scripture says that Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, the church has said, I'm going to build a building and you come. And that's literally what we have said. And then we wonder why they don't show up at our church. It's because we don't do what Jesus said do. He said, go. He said, go and preach the gospel. And preaching the gospel is more than what preachers do on Sunday morning. You preach the gospel with how you live. You preach the gospel with how you treat people. You preach the gospel with how you talk to people. You're constantly preaching the gospel. So Jesus came to save the world, but he couldn't do it until he affected Jerusalem, one city, one city. And Jesus even gave these instructions to Ananias about Paul's calling. He said in Acts 9, verse 15 through 16, but the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument, listen, to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. And I believe our calling is the same as leaders within our community, both the business leaders and the church leaders. We are to carry his name to the Gentiles. That's just those that don't know God. We're called to carry it to the children of Israel, which is people that have a covenant with God. But that would be the church people today, and I believe to the nation of Israel. But then it says to kings, and I believe those are men and women who are in places of power and influence. And my personal belief is the forgotten message of the kingdom is that we have forgotten the kings. We have forgotten the kings. It says their kings, matter of fact. So it's lost leaders. Lost leaders. We're talking about teams, and it's going to take a team to do what I am sharing with you to do. You can't do it by yourself. You're going to need a team, but you're first going to have to at least open your heart and let God speak to you about being an influencer. Being an influencer. See, God said it this way to Abraham, everywhere the sole of your feet walks, I will give it to you. So if you only walk in your church, that's all you're going to get. And if you only walk in your business, that's all you're going to get. So I want to say this to you, and the Lord just dropped this in my heart a few years ago, and I say it a lot to our church. The harvest is always bigger than the seed. If you don't plant something, you won't reap anything. I know you know that. But are you doing anything outside of your four walls of the church or the four walls of the business? So Dr. Mike Hayes says this, impact on the culture must happen by leadership. So we have to make an impression. Years ago, I learned about a teaching called the Seven Mountains of Influence. This was by Lance Wallnau. And he said there's basically seven mountains within our life and within our world. And those seven are arts and entertainment, which that can include sports as well, with Mr. James Brown being with us. That would be part of it. Business, education, family, government, religion, which is also the church. And then science and medication. And I believe that we've done a really good job of living in the church mountain, but we've lived in it for so long, we no longer have a voice in any other of the six mountains, and then we wonder why the church isn't relevant and nobody wants to ask the church's opinion. Well, that's because we're not in anything else. We need to have church men and women who love God but know their history and will be at Washington, D.C., to make sure that we do the things that we're supposed to do as a Christian nation and not go into idolatry. We need men and women who are in business and who are in government and who are in education and who are in the medical field, like the story that was shared from Pastor Jacob, that there was Christian men and women who were speaking life over his own child, not just doing what they've been taught to do. And we've almost become incestuous in the church. I don't know if you know this, but there are times you can just step back and look at people and go, that guy goes to church. That's a church person. Because we just kind of look like church people. And so I read this quote about 7 or 8 years ago, and it really left an indelible mark on my heart. And this is what has brought me through these 7 to 8 years and where I'm at. And I read, if your church was to close its doors, would your community miss you? And I'm just telling you, I had to come to a real hard realization that My community and my city would not miss me. Now, the 120 people in my church at that time, they would miss us. They would miss our church. But if I shut the doors, nobody in the city would miss us. And that's where this whole Genesis and what God has been doing in my heart and in my life has taken place. And I would ask the same about you as a business leader. If your business was to close its doors, would the community miss you? Have you done anything within your community to make them go, I hope that business never leaves our city. I hope that community, or I hope that that particular group of people never leave our city. I hope they never shut down. Now, this statement was so impactful in my life that at that time when we were in North Richland Hills, I actually found a building that was across the street from where they were going to be building the new city hall and the police station, because I had it in my heart and in my head, I'm going to get to know those people. I'm going to get to know those people. I'm going to know them by name. I'm going to be praying for them. I'm going to get out of my church box. Because years before that, I felt like I was called to business. I didn't want to be in ministry. But God, if you ever tell God you're not going to do something, you're in sad shape. Because he's gonna change some things in your heart. And so I just felt like proximity is everything. Sometimes you just have to be there. You just have to show up. You just have to hang around. They've got to know that you're a part of the community. A part of the community. You know, as I said earlier, influence is the capacity to have an effect on the character, development, and behavior of someone or something. And I believe all of you in here have capacity for this. I believe that we're for church. This is a church conference. It's leaders. I believe that what we do in churches matter. My main job is to lead and feed the people of my church, the people that come to Grace Christian Center. That's my main job. But I just believe that God has got more for me to do than just do church. Just do church. I want business people to know who I am. Not to know who I am, but I want to know them. I want to know the president and the CEO of the hospital. I want to know who the garrison commander is out on Fort Hood. I want to know the different people within the educational system. We have 45,000 kids in the Killeen Independent School District. I want to know some of these people. So 7 to 8 years ago, this process began to take place in my life. And I know that every pastor is not called to do what I'm talking about today, and I understand that. But I want to make an impact in people's lives. I want to make an impression in people's lives, not just one that just is kind of there and gone tomorrow. No, I want to do something, and I want to say something, and I want to be a part of something that makes a lasting impact in the life of people, in the life of people outside of my church that'll never come to my church. Never come to my church. So what I want to do here in just the last little bit is I just want to kind of share the story of what's been going on over these last 5 years. And I don't want you to think that I'm bragging on myself, because that's not my heart, but I don't think any of what I'm about to share with you would have ever happened had I not had this epiphany about I need to get outside of the four walls. There's six more. If this teaching is true about the seven mountains of influence, there's six more mountains that my life has the opportunity to do something good in. To do something good in. And so you saw part of our story that the founding pastors were killed in October of 2013. We were pastoring in the Fort Worth area. We had started our church, and so we became the senior pastors in April of 2014. Had a lot of great things, a lot of wonderful things have happened. But this Proverbs 11:11, I preached it. The second time I got to come, I preached about serving the city. And they actually, one of the board members actually told me, he said, we were looking for someone. We already knew how to reach the world, because we support missions in Ethiopia that actually touches that whole nation. We support missions in China that they go into the interior of China, and they minister to two people groups that don't even have written. They do have one of them has a written language now, but they both didn't have that at one time. And then we support a church in Nazareth, Israel. So I feel like we've got all those bases covered. But they said, because you have a heart to reach the city, that's what shifted everything for us, believing that you're the person that needed to be here. So I just thought, okay, our church is a part of the Chamber of Commerce, and I would encourage you to be a part of that in your city. Your city's not going to know you if you're not a part of something that can put you in the place with the people of the city. So I really do encourage you to do that. So I just decided I'm going to take the president of the Chamber of Commerce, I'm going to take him to breakfast. I took him to Cracker Barrel. All good things happen at Cracker Barrel. It's a very spiritual experience, and I believe it's Pentecostal. I tell you, it's that great. So here's what I did with the president. I looked at him, and I said, I know you don't know me. I said, you may know of our church. It's been around here for quite a while. But I said, I want to be involved in the city. And I said, I don't want anything from you, and I'm not asking anything from you, but I want to serve you. I said, I've got good facilities. I've got quite a few people that can serve. So I just want to open up my church to you, and I want to be able to serve you and serve the community. No strings attached. And when I have shared this and gone and talked to my other pastor friends, unfortunately, their first response is, well, what has the city done for us? And I'm thinking, your heart, you've just totally got it mixed up. We don't pay taxes and, other things that God has done for us. And you're worried about what the city is supposed to do for you. That's not why you're in the city. You're not in the city so the city can do something for you. Do you not understand you're in the city so you can do something for the city? That's what you're in the city for, to be a leader in there. So that's what I told him. I just want to serve my city. So I'm going to share with you some things that have happened. This is not to brag. This is not to boast. I'm not smart enough. I don't have enough of the alphabet behind my name to be able to know how to do this. But this is what God has done simply because I had one meeting with one man and said, I just want to serve you. I want to do what Scripture tells me to do. As I've said in the video, we're never more like Jesus than when we're serving. That's when we're more like Jesus than any other time in your life is when you're serving. So our church seats about 1,000 people, or it can seat 1,000 people in the auditorium, but we now host LeaderCast for the city, for the chamber. LeaderCast is the largest one-day leadership event in the world. It's broadcast from Atlanta, Georgia. And they have host sites, and we're a host site now for the city. And now the city just expects us to be the host site. It's no longer asking us. They just kind of tell us, hey, it's next year on this date, and we just need you to put us on the calendar. Because there is now a partnership with them. Because of the level that we have on the Chamber of Commerce, there's different councils. So I serve on the Public Policy Council, which is the government side of it. It's the political side of it. And I serve on the Military Relations Council. And I get to sit with people much smarter than me, much more capable than me. And I just listen. I'm learning. I'm just listening. I don't try to throw out any church jargon. I don't try to do that. Every once in a while, I got a question to ask. They've already profiled me at every luncheon. I'm the guy that prays over the meal. I don't think they think I can do anything else, but I can pray over the meal. So I pray over the meal. We're in those meetings, and they say, well, we need somebody to introduce the speaker. Somebody, we need somebody to do this. We need somebody to pray. And they all just look at me. So I'm like, okay, I'll pray. So But I've got to meet business leaders in our community. 2 weeks ago, out of nowhere, I had one of the city councilmen call. He doesn't go to my church. I really don't know his relationship with the Lord, but he said, I need to come talk to you because there's some things going on at the council, and I need somebody to speak to me about what I biblically should do. And it's all because of serving the city. Leadership, influence. We're involved. I was excited about watching the video because we do a Serve the City Day. Not we have to serve, it's we get to serve. Last year we had 34 different projects on one day, and we went out and we just served the city. We have one guy in our church that's got very much involved in the 12 middle schools. It's called Part of Many, and it's just a ministry that goes in, and they take the book by Stephen Covey, the seven, I can't even, yeah, that book. The seven, highly, what is it? The Effective Habits of Highly Effective People, yeah, something like that. And they go through, and they work with just certain middle school boys. And they have a graduation for them. And teachers now are coming and saying, our school is changing because of this. Our boys that have been cussing and fussing are now yes ma'am and yes sir, and they're leaders now within the school. Because of the size of our church, we do what we call Ellison lunches. Ellison is one of the high schools right next to our campus. And so we serve lunch Monday through Thursday, and they have to pay $3 for it. But we do that as an outreach. We're involved in hosting meetings for human trafficking. We were voted nonprofit of the year. I don't know how it happened for me, but I was voted the humanitarian of the year by the NAACP chapter that's there within Killeen. All these different things have happened simply because it started with a breakfast to go and talk to the Chamber of Commerce president. I just want to help. I just want to serve. And we talk about leadership, and we talk about leading our families, which we should, and leading our spouses, which we should, leading our children, leading our teams within the church, which we should. But I'm just here to tell you, you're supposed to be leading your city. You're supposed to be walking with the men and women who are called in business, education, whatever field it might be. For us, Fort Hood is a $52 billion a year industry that affects our area. I didn't know this until a few years ago, but Fort Hood is the number one employer in the state of Texas. So how Fort Hood goes is really how Killeen, Texas goes, because we're right next to them. So we were approached a few years ago by the chamber on a initiative called 14 Forward. It was renaming of the highway into an interstate with three objectives: to promote Fort Hood, to improve the quality of life in Killeen through raising the internet speed, because we are below average in the nation. And then it was to bring new businesses to the area. And out of the 60 businesses that they went and talked to, we were the only church that they talked to. And we are the only church that is a part of this five-year initiative that's giving money into it to be a part of it. And again, I don't say any of this to brag. What I'm trying to tell you is, what can you do simply if you'll just start by one conversation, one breakfast, one lunch with a leader within your community? I've started last week taking out leaders in our community, and I'm interviewing them, and I'm asking them 9 questions. I was really kind of taken aback by this one gentleman that I took out, because I don't know him that well. I really like him. But when I started asking him questions, instead of him giving me the answers I thought I would get, he started talking to me about his family. started talking to me about his kids, started talking to me about his wife. All of a sudden, I've got this leader of 30 years within community. He's not talking to me about his business. He's not talking to me about all these. He's talking to me about his wife. Talking to me about his kids. Talking to me about his life. That's what I really want to know. That's where I'm going to be able to help him the most, because that's where I can speak into his life. And I think our attitude needs to be this. I'm willing to do anything, but I can't do everything. I'm willing to do anything, but I can't do everything. Because when you start hosting things at your church and you open up your facilities to help people, all of a sudden mama calls because she wants to have a birthday party. And you have other people calling because they want to do this and want to do that. And that's not what we're doing. That's why they have McDonald's. That's why they have Chuck E. Cheese. So you can go do that. But my encouragement to you today as leaders and with influence leadership and influence missions is to get involved in your city. You say, well, Pastor Mark, all I know is pastoring. Listen, that's all I know as well. But I've decided to get out and be uncomfortable. You're going to have to put your place to, and you're going to have to put yourself in a place to be uncomfortable. And you don't have to have the answer. Sometimes you just need to listen. You just need to listen. So you'll know how to pray. I know how to pray over my city better now than I ever would have known 3 years ago. I know how to speak into some people's lives now. I know how to ask certain questions that I never would have known before had I not put myself in a place to be uncomfortable. Sometimes it's when you're uncomfortable, that's when you grow the most. And if you truly pray prayers, I'll just say this. You need, as leaders, I'm going to encourage you, stop praying safe prayers. We pray safe prayers as pastors and as leaders. No, you need to pray some prayers that just put you out in a place that you're not going to be very comfortable. And I don't mean put yourself in a place that you'll do something foolish or ignorant or even stupid. But you need to do that. Be a servant. Lead your city by serving your city. Be generous. Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24 and 25, in the Message, it says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. I'm just going to tell you, dream big and dream big outside of your church. Dream big outside of your church. I believe that we have business people within our churches that are begging us to come outside of the four walls and help them and lead by example. And I believe you can influence your city. You can influence your city. Just a couple more things here. I'm going to ask you to do this. Will you allow God to direct you into a place of effectiveness and not just busyness? You know, I will encourage you with this. You're not going to get any better teaching, and I know you know this, than the teaching of Pastor Dwayne Sheriff. And so one of the things that I would encourage you to do, because in the 5 years I've taught it three different times, is what every pastor wants in his leadership team. You need to take that and you need to apply that to whatever you're doing in business or in church, because it's an incredible asset. And so when they asked me to talk today about leadership, I thought, I can't give you anything better than what your own pastor gives you. I can't give you anything better than what you can read, but I can give you something that is relative to our life, relevant in our life, that I'm actually living, and it's not just something that I think would work. And I'm just telling you, this works. Our cities want our help. They need our help. They don't need Jesus shoved down their throat. I literally think the reason why they let me pray, it's because I just bless the food. And I don't try to convert them while I'm blessing the food. I get to go pray at the city council meetings. They want to have somebody open up in prayer. And I was joking with the Chamber of Commerce president. I said, well, at least the city lets me come pray. He said, listen, the reason they're letting you come pray is because, and he listed off this, and when they asked me to pray, they sent me this thing in email that said, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't say this, you can't say this. You got 2 minutes. Because, and the reason why they have that is because people have tried to do this, they've tried to do this, they've tried to do, preachers have tried to do this. I just wish sometimes would preachers would quit preaching and they would just live it. Just live it. So let me say this to you. By adopting the posture of a servant, what you are saying and modeling to others is simply this: I will kneel so I can lead. Amen. Thank you.